All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 25 to 36, so we're going to finish up this chapter. As you know, we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and we're in the book of Leviticus on Wednesdays, and that book has been really just doing a tremendous, I tell you, last Wednesday's message, if you missed it, you definitely want to go online and get that message, because I believe it's a message for our nation. So you want to get last week's message on Wednesday night. All right. Let's open up in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your time that you've given us here in your word. We pray, God, that the secrets of our hearts will be revealed. And Lord, that you would definitely show us those things in our lives that are not like you, and that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3, looking at verses 25 to 36, the title of this message is Haterade. Haterade. Now, Haterade is a combination of the words hater and Gatorade. Well, we all know that Gatorade is the sports drink that quenches our thirst and replenishes our bodies after a hard workout. And hater is a term that is used when someone is jealous of someone else. Jealous of someone's ability, of someone's accomplishments and their beauty and their financial success. And the list goes on and on. See, the title Haterade is going to be dealing with the sin of jealousy. And yes, it is a sin. Why? Because jealousy says, God, I am not content with what you have given me, and I want what they have. Or, God, you're unfair because you have given them that thing or those gifts or that promotion, and you didn't give those things to me. And when this attitude comes up in our hearts, we're sipping on some haterade. And we're hating on what others have and what you don't have. Well, the same thing was happening in these verses. After Jesus finished his conversation with Nicodemus about being born again, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea and started baptizing people, according to verse 22. John the Baptist was also baptizing people in the city of Enon near Salem. And you can bet the comparing and the hating started with whose baptism was the best, John's baptism or the baptism of Jesus. So let's pick up the story in verses 25 to 27. It says, then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. Now, in these verses, we see that a dispute broke out between some of John the Baptist's disciples and the Jews about purification, according to verse 25. The word dispute in the Greek is zetesis, and this word means a dispute in the form of asking questions. And some scholars say that it was only an exchange of words. But I believe that it was more to it than this, because the context tells us that it was so intense that they had to bring the attention bring this dispute to the attention of John the Baptist in verse 26. And there is even room to believe that it was not just Jews as in plural, but it could have been, like verse 25 said, but it could have been Jew as in singular. My point is, there's room to believe that there was one person, or at the most just a small group of Jews, that came to John the Baptist's disciples to stir up some mess, bragging about what Jesus and his disciples were baptizing and what John and his disciples were baptizing. And so a dispute breaks out because John the Baptist's disciples are going to defend their rabbi and their teacher. Arguing over purification, according to verse 25. Now, the Greek word for purification is catharsis. Or charismos is how it's pronounced. And it refers to ritual purification or cleansing that the Jews were instructed to perform according to the book of Leviticus, like we've been studying on Wednesday nights. Let me just pause right here and ask, are you like this Jew or group of Jews going around stirring up mess at the office on the job. Girl, did you hear about what they're doing in their section over there? And a dispute has broken out on the job because of you. Now, your group is hating on them because they have more sales or they have higher scores than your group or school. And we do this with churches. We do this with churches as well. We hate on this church or that church because more people are coming here or going over there. And we start to nitpick and pick apart what that church or minister or pastor is teaching. And all we're doing is sipping on some haterade. And I'm afraid to say that I've had my sip a time or two myself. Hating on the blessings and success of other churches. And I'm ashamed to say that I've had this myself. I've sipped myself. And a sign that you have a six pack of haterade in the refrigerator of your life is a critical spirit. Critical of other people and churches and pastors and bosses. It is a sign. Just critical of every little person, every little thing. When the Bible clearly says, for you know takers in Titus 3:2, it says speak evil of no one. In James 4:11, it says do not speak evil of one another. But a sign that you have been sipping on some haterade yourself is that you're constantly picky and critical of every little thing, it's a sign that you're sipping on the haterade, that you have a six pack in the refrigerator of your life, because you're saying, in other words, through your critical spirit, you're saying, I can do it better if I was the boss. And that's a sign. Maybe you could do it better, but your pride is the reason why you're not there in that position. And so, according to verse 26, they bring this discussion to John the Baptist. Surely he will agree with their disgust of how the popularity of Jesus is greater than theirs. They even started to exaggerate like we all do during these times. They said at the end of verse 26, all are coming to him. Now we know that all were not going to Jesus. But when we sip on haterade, we exaggerate the facts. All are going to him. John responds in verse 27 by saying a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. In other words, everything that God has blessed us to do or to have has been given to us by God. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. It says, for who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you have not received? And if you have indeed received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? John the Baptist is saying, all that I have has been given to me from God. So if God blesses the ministry of Jesus more than mine, that is God's business. This is the attitude we all should have instead of sipping on some haterade and hating on every church or boss or school or ministry or Christian God is blessing more than ours. See, I had to learn this lesson. It takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. There is no one church fits all. It really isn't. There are some people who like churches that are lively and loud. And they emphasize verses like Psalm 100 verse 1, make a joyful noise, shout unto the Lord. Well, there are others who like churches more subdued and quiet. And they emphasize verses like Psalm 46 verse 10 that says, be still and know that I'm God. Or like Habakkuk 2:20 that says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And there are others who like churches that are large, and some who like churches that are small. And I'm glad that God is teaching me that I am not in competition with other churches. We're on the same team. You know who I'm in competition with? I'm in competition with the clubs and the bars and that kind of stuff to try to keep y'all out of those things. That's who I'm in competition with, not other churches. Our children's ministry, we're not in competition with what other children's ministries are doing because we know what we're doing. A lot of churches not even nowhere near doing. I'm in competition with Nickelodeon, Disney, the Cartoon Network. That's what I'm in competition with. So I'm not in competition with other churches. We're on the same team. John had to tell his disciples that he was not in competition with Jesus, that they're on the same team. And happy is the person who realizes what John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. Please understand that, dear people. Psalm 75 verses 6 and 7 says, promotion neither comes from the east or from the west or from the south. It comes from the Lord. He exalts one and puts another down. A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from above. You know why that person got that promotion? Because God gave it to him. You were not ready for it. God knew that you got that position. Your head would be so big, we couldn't get you through that door right there. We had to knock a hole in the wall to get you in here. And I'd have been right in here waiting with a pen. Boop! Pop that bubble right on. You ain't all that. You think you all that in a bag of chips. You not. You not all that. You easily replaceable. Because when you go, guess what? Somebody else is coming. You're not all that. I'm not all that. None of us are. And a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from above. So the gifts and talents and abilities you have been given to you from God. So use them to the best of your ability and stop hating on what others have been given by God. Put the hater aid down. Look what he says in verse 28. He says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Now, one of the secrets of John the Baptist's ministry is his humility. He reminds his disciples in verse 28, he wasn't the Christ or he wasn't the Messiah, but that he was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And please, 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 dear people, understand what John the Baptist understood. You are not the Messiah either. Many of you try to be the Christ or the Messiah to your family, to your friends, on the job. And there's this need to be needed that we have that causes us to take on the Messiah complex. And because of this, we try to fix everyone's problems. And you have a bunch of people calling you on the phone, coming by your house, texting you. And it's wearing you out. Why? Because there is only one Messiah, one Christ, and that is Jesus and not you. Now, there is nothing wrong with helping people out and being there for someone, but this goes deeper than this. There's a Messiah complex that people take on that is unhealthy, and it will send you into a depression and despair. You know why? Because you realize you can't fix everyone's problems. You don't have the answers to everyone's questions. And that is depressing for you because of this need to be needed. Remind yourself and your friends and your family members and coworkers what John the Baptist told his disciples. I am not the Christ. Look what it says there in verses 29 and 30. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. See, in this day, the friend of the bridegroom, which what we would call the best man, would be the one who made preparations for the wedding. Today, we have wedding coordinators and all kind of stuff today. But it was the best man or the friend of the bridegroom who did these things. It was also the best man who would escort the bride and the groom to the bridal chamber or the honeymoon suite. And when the best man heard the voice of the groom and joined his bride, that told him that all was well and his hard work had paid off. And so too, John the Baptist was saying to his disciples, you guys telling me that everyone is going to Jesus does not make me sad, but glad. Because verse 30 says, I must decrease and he must increase. In other words, I must fade away and he must be seen. See, this is the problem with having the Messiah complex. People see you more than they see Jesus. We must decrease. Jesus must increase. With having the Messiah complex, there is a need to be seen, a need to be known, a need to be recognized. No, we must decrease and Jesus must increase. I believe that there's something broken deep down on the inside of us that want to be needed, that want to be seen, that want to be recognized. And so we insist on titles and exalted positions and lofty accolades because we want people to recognize who we are. Don't they know who they're talking to? Not John the Baptist. He said he must decrease and Jesus must increase. And if you want to see success in any area of ministry or life, you must decrease and Jesus must increase. See, this is done by always pointing people to Jesus, always giving the credit to him, always having people look past you to Jesus. Let me just say this. I hesitated, but you know me, I ain't gonna hesitate too long. Ladies, you have an issue with this. Let me tell you why. Because it's built in your DNA to be needed. You have your children that depend, that need you. And God built you with, you know, a way to feed the baby naturally. I think I said that one nicely. To feed the baby naturally. And then the baby, the kid depends on them, their mother. Then when those kids grow up and leave, then you can parent all over again with grandchildren. Woo-hoo-hoo! Because that need to be needed. But what happens is when the kids are gone and the grandkids gone, that need to be needed, so it can get out of hand. And then you feel useless because no one is depending on you anymore. And you feel useless and you go into a depression because that need to be needed is not being fulfilled. And so often I've seen where women have stirred up mess as a result and put condemnation on the grown kids. And when the last time you called your mother, you know, I did all this and sacrificed for you. And there's that need. And so you have to be careful. You have to realize you must decrease. And Jesus must increase in their lives because they really need him and not you. They really, see, for us as fathers, we're so quick to say, let them fend for themselves. Let them figure it out. No, but they need us at this time. There's nothing wrong with helping out every now and then, but they gotta learn. Life has to, you know, whoop them up a little bit. They gotta learn to hit their knees and depend on God. Not every time there's a problem to call mama. Because mama gonna get daddy to do it. Or mama gonna do it without daddy knowing it. It's gonna get done because she has this need to be needed. Oh, God is speaking to some folks today. This need to be needed. And you can come to understand that you must decrease and Jesus must increase. Now, with this whole thing, now you don't get weird. Let's not get weird. If you do something for someone and they come and say thank you, don't say, no, not me. You know, look to him. Don't get weird. You super spiritual ones. Just say thank you and just talk about the grace of God that enabled you to do that. Don't get weird. Make people feel weird. No, no, that was you. No, no, it was the Lord. Don't look to me. I don't want the stop. I've had super spiritual ones get like that. And when they do that to me, and I just say, you know, I appreciate what you've done. You know, no, no, it's not me. I said, no, it was you. It was you. I want to thank you. Just say thank you. And just move on. You know. So they're super spiritual ones. You're the ones I'm talking to. Don't get all weird. Just say thank you and talk about the grace of God. Now look at verses 31 to 35. It says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, that no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Now, John the Baptist continues to give his disciples a lesson about who Jesus is. John says in verse 31, they needed to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord because he came from above and is above all. In other words, the things that he has to say, they have a heavenly origin. His words are not the words of earthly man. And what he will tell you are things that he has seen and heard. In other words, Jesus is not giving us some secondhand information. He is testifying of the things that he has seen and heard with his own ears and eyes. And even though many rejected Jesus, not everyone, I don't want you to please understand that. No matter what the news is reporting, no matter what is said on the internet and Facebook and all these other places, not everyone is rejecting Jesus Christ. Not everyone. Verse 33 says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Now, the word certify in the Greek is aspergizo, and it means to stamp or to provide with a seal. See, in ancient times, they would seal or stamp something with a signet ring to show complete acceptance or approval. And so this means when we accept Jesus and his words, we are stamping our acceptance or approval on what he said. Now, please keep in mind and understand, our stamp of approval doesn't make the words of Jesus true. We're acknowledging that they are true. The question is, have you done this yet? Have you accepted the words of Jesus as being true? The words of Jesus is seen in the entire Bible, not just the red letters that you might have in yours. The words of Jesus is the entire Bible. Jesus said it himself in Hebrews 10:7. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The volume, the whole volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And have you accepted the words of the Bible as true? Or are you constantly believing the lies on the internet from misinformed people telling you that the words of Jesus are not true, that the Bible is false, and it's the words of men and all kind of the mess that people put on there? It amazes me how people talk about, you know, the Bible and how they try to mock it and say it's not true. When we can believe, you know, Shakespeare has been, these are the words of Shakespeare, you know, and no one questions that. There's one little phrase in around 360 BC by Plato that talks about the city of Atlantis. And people have believed they found the city of Atlantis and all that sort of stuff. And they verified that it's true because Plato mentioned one little sentence about them in 360 BC. And nobody questions that. But we have over 5,000 or so copies and manuscripts of the scripture. But we pick it apart. Oh, my goodness. It's not the words of, oh, my goodness. But we take the words of man and we hook, line, and sinker. We go to school. We went to school. We open up that book and we say that so-and-so wrote this and no one questions it. But the Bible, oh, though we have more evidence on the scripture than any other book, any other writings in history. But it's being questioned. Is that you? Are you questioning the words of God from the lies on the internet saying that it's not true? When are you going to stop fighting with your own conscience? that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is written on every man's conscience, the Bible says, Romans 2:15. Are you going to receive the testimony of Jesus Christ? It reminds me of the Apostle Paul. The Lord stopped him in his tracks and said, Paul, come on, dude. How long are you going to kick against the goads? The goads were a sharp instrument that was on the back of the plow to keep the animal from kicking back, bucking back and kicking the owner. So whenever a animal that was plowing the fields just getting his feelings and think he want to kick back, instead of kicking the owner, they would kick this sharp instrument called the goads, or the old King James called it pricks. And it, when he kicked that sharp instrument, he'd think again about kicking back again. And so too, there's many people kicking against the sharpness of their own conscience. Knowing that the word of God is true, knowing that the things, see, the reason why people reject the word of God is because they don't want to be accountable to anyone. They don't want anyone to say that their actions are not right. Everyone wants to know, whatever I want to do, remember, the world says truth is relative. What's relative to me might not be relative to you, so therefore this is my truth. I always tell people, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Truth is truth. Truth is not relative. It's not whatever's true for me is true for you. Are you kidding me? I think it's true for me to take a bat and go upside your head. Oh, that's not right. Why? Because that's against the law. Oh, so we do have some right and wrong, truth and false in our world then. Truth is not relative for me to take a gun and shoot you with. That's not right. That's against the law. Oh, so we do have laws. So that means there's right and wrong. There's lawful things and unlawful things. It's not this truth is relative stuff. You kidding me? The word of God is true and people are kicking against it. Kicking against that Jesus came to rescue us from our sin. It reminds me of like when someone is drowning and as you're out there to save them, they fighting you. It's like, really? I'm here to save you and you're fighting me? This is what is happening with Jesus. Jesus came to rescue us, to save us from our sin, and the world is just fighting them. It's like, wow, really? He came to rescue us. And you can do this today and repent of your sin and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you too can certify that God is true, like verse 33 says. Look what he says there in the last verse, verse 36. Say, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John says, he who believes on the Lord has everlasting life. And we know the word believe. We've been talking about the last few weeks in the Greek is pistis. And it means to trust in, to rely upon, to adhere to. And if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rely upon him and adhere to his teachings, you would have everlasting life. But if you don't, you shall not see life or this quality of life, but God's wrath abides on you. The word abide in the Greek is meno, and it means to remain, to continue, to dwell, or to abide. This means that God's wrath will abide, dwell, remain on those who refuse to repent and turn away from their sin. It will remain until you either come to Jesus or you die. And let me plead with you to come to Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior and remove God's wrath from abiding upon your life. Let me conclude with this. Haterade, please put it down. Please put it down and stop sipping on it like the disciples of John the Baptist were doing. The sin of jealousy can be very tricky because it deceives us into thinking we are justified or right for feeling the way that we do. But it is a sin. Why? Watch this. Because it deceives us into thinking that someone has something that really belongs to us. A promotion, a gift, talent, spouse, bank account. Bring it to Jesus and allow him to cleanse you of this green monster. Also bring your Messiah complex to the real Messiah and confess to Jesus Christ how you have been trying to take his place in people's lives. They need Jesus and not us. Finally, get right with God by accepting him as your Lord and Savior, by repenting of your sin, and get the wrath of God off of your life. You can do this today. You can do this today. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for your love. Thank you for your word. And I pray for those, Lord, who have not repented of their sin today. I pray that they will come to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior so the wrath of God can be removed from their lives. Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with the sin of jealousy, jealous over someone's spouse, jealous over someone's bank account, their job, their promotion. Lord, I just pray for those who are dealing with the sin of jealousy. And finally, Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with the Messiah complex, this need to be needed. And Lord, help us to remember that we must decrease and you must increase in our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.